Welcome to Marvel.
Welcome into the show, Marvel Fantasy Football Podcast. Week 2 is in the books. Thank you for joining me. Excited to talk fantasy football this week. A lot of storylines to go over. Some good, some not so good. Just a couple that I kind of noticed were having to do with the tight end position. Guys like Hunter Henry and Zach Ertz are becoming viable options compared to guys like George Kittle, Darren Waller, who was okay this past week, Dallas Goedert, Kyle Pitts. These guys, Hunter Henry and Zach Ertz. Zach Ertz is commanding a 30% target share right now through 2 weeks. And I don't know if you remember, Zach Ertz plays for the Cardinals, who are 0-2, but there's really nobody there. They're in shootouts all the time. It's just crazy. Now, I'm not saying he's a better tight end than some of the names I just said, but for fantasy football purposes, it's just totally insane that it kind of looks like we're regressing back to late round quarterbacks production and maybe late round tight end guys as far as draft process goes. If you drafted all these top guys besides maybe Hockenson, you're not getting return on investment, that's for sure. Especially, I'm a Darren Waller owner. I don't think I've gotten my return that I expected yet. Joe Chick with Kittle, he could probably say the same thing. Kelsey was okay this week, but limited on his snaps. For Alicia, she's 0-2. I forget who has Mark Andrews. I believe Elliott, you know, he was okay as well this week. He's caught a touchdown, but the return on investment through 2 weeks is not there for the tight end position. Puka Nacua, another storyline that we're following. Amazing. Can he keep it up? I can't believe he just did what he did yesterday versus the Niners defense. Obviously, you saw in chat, Tom and I, you know, I didn't start him in two of my leagues. Tom didn't start him in a league, in this league. So it's just crazy. You almost got to fire him up now from now on until further notice, until Cooper Kupp does come back. But he is, those two games are historic. You know, the commentator said he was looking like Jerry Rice out there, and Jerry Rice used to play like this. So I know it sounds like a silly comparison, but through 2 weeks, those were very Jerry Rice like stats for Puka Nacua. Crazy to think. And he has no touchdowns yet. So there's a chance that he could be even more valuable for fantasy if they can find the end zone. Some other storylines, the Chicago Bears backfield. It was interesting to see Donta Foreman was a healthy scratch. So, you know, guys like Roschon Johnson and Khalil Herbert, maybe some more clarity on those on that backfield. Another backfield that was a surprise was the Rams backfield. Obviously, Kyron Williams had a great week one, but Cam Akers still received 22 carries week one. And then all of a sudden, last minute, Cam Akers, healthy scratch. It looks like him and Sean McVay are at it again. You know, whatever's going on, I'd like to know the full story because this happened last year. Cam Akers was on the trade block. They couldn't find a trade partner to get rid of him, so they invite him back to the team, and he was their workhorse last year. So is that going to happen again this year? I'm not so sure, because now they have Kyron Williams, who looked great again against a stout 49ers defense. He looked really good. 14 carries and 10 targets for Kyron Williams. Another storyline we're looking at, CJ Stroud. I know the Texans lost again, but this is what I'd like to see. I know I was kind of making fun of Justin Fields yesterday. Justin Fields doesn't do this. The garbage time, at least CJ Stroud kills it in garbage time. You could say that other teams have better rosters, so CJ Stroud is just kind of, you know, doing what he can with that Texans roster. This is flashing to me when a quarterback can do this with a you know, a lackluster roster, at least he's throwing and looking good in that garbage time. Justin Fields, on the other hand, what's that, 13 losses in a row? It's inexcusable as a year three starter. We have to start looking at Justin Fields like a bust. I don't know how else to say it. His roster just hasn't gotten better. Maybe that's because of management. So this is kind of like a twofer storyline. It's how good the rookie quarterbacks looked. Richardson before he got hurt, CJ Stroud yesterday, and then how bad Justin Fields looks. I mean, I think he gets a pass because he looks flashy and what he can do with his legs, but his passing is just terrible. So we'll see moving forward if Justin Fields can turn it around. No more excuse for him. He has DJ Moore, who's doing everything he can to make Justin Fields look good. I mean, he can take a 2-yard screen pass to the house, and all those stats go to Justin Fields' stat box. So, some other storylines. You know, last one for today. We definitely have our answer as far as the Commanders' backfield. Brian Robinson Jr. is that guy. Antonio Gibson, kind of an afterthought, but Brian Robinson Jr., 2 touchdowns in that come from behind win in Denver, nonetheless. He's looking real good and just super value in fantasy drafts all over. I mean, 6th, 7th round guy looking like that. He's the workhorse in Washington. With that said, those are just a few of the many storylines in fantasy football today. I mean, I always say it's the best thing possible. It's better than WWE. I mean, WWE, they have script writers and everything, and they still can't formulate anything close to what the NFL gives you. Last night, how about the Patriots versus Dolphins? Epic game. Patriots have a chance. Final drive. Script writers could never write this up. Final seconds. Patriots need a first down. Pass to Gesicki. It looks like he's going to get tackled. He laterals it to an offensive lineman. The lineman barrels through like 4 Dolphin defenders. It looks like he gets the first down. Upon further review, his knee went down at the very last second. Running out the clock. At that point, it was 4th down and gave the Dolphins a win. But it was just exciting, man. For a second, it looked like Gesicki did the unthinkable with that lateral and just the offensive lineman dragging 4 Dolphins defenders across the first down. I hate the Patriots, but I was actually rooting for them to get that first down last night. The NFL has just been awesome through 2 weeks. I feel like it's already going by too fast. So enjoy it while we got it, folks. Without any further ado, let's get to the studs and duds and the matchups. And of course, it is now time for the matchup of the week. Who's it gonna be? What? Taylor versus me, Mr. Fahrenheit. We begin in Dallas, Texas. Taylor takes the win, 106-101. What a matchup this turned out to be. It went well into the 4 p.m. games, right up until one of the final plays for the Dallas Cowboys. Taylor's players were done. I had Garrett Wilson still playing, Darren Waller still playing, Tony Pollard still playing, and Jahan Dotson still playing, and my guys could not get it done. I think I mentioned in the chat, a late Tony Pollard touchdown that would have sealed it for me was called back, but that's fantasy football, folks. Congratulations to Taylor on the win. Again, 106-101. Let's take a look at her squad. Triple digits here. Her stud is going to be, T. Higgins. Got to give it to T. Higgins after 0 point effort last week. He comes out 24 fantasy points, 8 for 89, and 2 touchdowns. He was one of the only bright spots for the Bengals and another losing effort for them against the Ravens. As far as her dud goes, definitely she took some risks at the end of her flex position, starting Roschon Johnson and Hunter Renfrow. But we're not going there. Alexander Mattison, 3 fantasy points. He looked awful. I know the Eagles are elite up front on the D-line, but 28 yards rushing and a fumble. That's back-to-back, you know, weeks for Alexander Mattison. He's not Dalvin Cook. I think the Vikings are learning that. So we'll see going forward. I don't know, Jim. I don't know if Alexander Mattison is going to make it to the end of the year as their starting running back. Going on to Mr. Fahrenheit's team. My team, as far as my dud goes, Kenneth Walker. He is who I thought he was. Every single analyst over the summer was fading Kenneth Walker. Oh, Zach Charbonnet, they went out and got him in the second or third round of the draft. He's going to be the goal line guy. He's going to be the pass catcher. I know what my eyeballs saw with Kenneth Walker last year, and he's still that dude. Only 43 yards on the ground rushing, not very efficient, but he's still the goal line guy. 2 touchdowns. This Seahawks offense is going to be good enough all year long to put Kenneth Walker in scoring position, and he's still that guy. 17.9 fantasy points. Gotta love it. Drafted him everywhere I could. As far as my duds go, Jahan Dotson was definitely in consideration, but I am going to go Trevor Lawrence. Back-to-back disappointing performances for Trevor Lawrence. They won last week versus the Colts, but his numbers weren't great. This week against Kansas City, 216 yards passing, no touchdowns. You know, he had several passes in the back of the end zone where players like Zay Jones and Calvin Ridley caught those balls, but they were out of bounds. It was just a little too high for these guys to come down with them. So 9 fantasy points. He's the reason why I lost this week. I believe I made the right choices as my starters compared to my bench. And I solely give it to Trevor Lawrence. I might have to figure out my quarterback position. I am now 0-2, which I guess isn't a surprise. I had myself out of the playoffs. But Taylor, congratulations on a 2-0 start. Our former champion, circa 2017, I believe. She's back at it, and she's looking for more gold. Congratulations. That was your matchup of the week. All right, our next matchup is going to be what I thought was the matchup of the week. That was one of the storylines heading into Sunday. This is going to be Maddie the Teddy Bears taking on Sweet Chick Music Joe Chick. And Maddie takes the win 154-101. Wow. Super lopsided, and it started off with DeAndre Swift on Thursday. 25 fantasy points, 175 yards, and a touchdown on the ground with the absence of Kenny Gainwell. So I got to give props where props are due. I believe I saw only 46% of DeAndre Swift owners in leagues nationwide started him, and probably even less in 10-team leagues, 8-team leagues. So in a 12-team league, it did take some guts to go ahead and fire him up. I was happy I did in another league as well. The opportunity was just too great. You put him on your team, you know, for this situation where that backfield was ugly during draft season, fantasy draft season. We didn't know who was going to be the guy. A lot of reports about Kenny Gainwell being the guy, and he was week one. But we know the talent of DeAndre Swift, and obviously Rashad Penny is in there too. So it was an ambiguous backfield, and anybody that drafted DeAndre Swift, if you weren't going to start him this week, why did you draft him? So props to Maddie for drafting him, and the reward paid off. 25 fantasy points. As far as Maddie's dud goes, nobody really killed him. Obviously, he scored 154 points. But as far as his dud goes, we'll just go Dallas Goedert, high-end, tight end, you know, picked in the fantasy draft and really hasn't paid out. 2 weeks into the season, 5 fantasy points, 6 receptions. You'll love that, but only 22 yards. So he caught 6 of 7 targets, and the average depth of target is the problem here. Nothing is downfield. It's 1 to 2 yards, from the line of scrimmage and then immediately tackled. So he was intricate in getting a few first downs here and there, which really opened things up for Devonta Smith down the field on Thursday night. But if I had to pick a dud, we will go with Dallas Goedert. But nice win there, Maddie. As far as Joe Chick's team, he still put up 101 points, which is great, but going up against Maddie's juggernaut team, 154 points, that's going to be a hard ask to get past that. So as far as your duds go, it's going to actually be your studs from last week. I think I named them the Jaguar boys, Travis Etienne and Calvin Ridley. What happened? Calvin Ridley, 2 catches for 32 yards, 4 fantasy points. Travis Etienne, 40 yards rushing, 5 fantasy points. Now, Calvin Ridley was banged up but came back in. He also had almost 2 touchdowns. I think that's what the fantasy world calls them, is almost touchdowns. Where in Zay Jones, too, basically Trevor Lawrence threw these beautiful passes to the back of the end zone, and they were caught twice by Calvin Ridley, once by Zay Jones, and they were just too high of a target, and these guys couldn't get their feet down. Calvin Ridley had a scare. He caught one, which looked like a touchdown, and he ran into the goalpost after and was kind of shaken up. But nonetheless, all 3 of those touchdowns were called back, and it left Calvin Ridley, with a crappy fantasy day, as well as Travis Etienne. But such a weird, I thought it was going to be a shootout between the Jaguars and Chiefs, and it turned out to be a very low-scoring affair. So that's probably more props to those defenses for kind of keeping things, low-scoring. As far as your stud goes, Brian Robinson Jr., he's looking fantastic. Possibly just one of the best values in fantasy right now of where you drafted him. I made a huge mistake in a couple leagues. I thought Gibson was going to inherit that pass catching role completely. I thought the Commanders were going to be playing from behind, almost every game. And right now it's the Brian Robinson show. So you remember when J.D. McKissick was there, McKissick had a few 13 catch games as a running back, and I thought Gibson was going to get that. Totally wrong on Brian Robinson. He looks the part. 87 yards on the ground and 2 touchdowns to go along with 2 receptions and 42 yards receiving. So Joe Chick is going to be 1-1 on the season, and Matty Rivers starts his Marvel career 2-0, which is fantastic because he's got Cooper Kupp just sitting there ready to roll, possibly week 5. So to draft Cooper Kupp in the first round and kind of just be able to sit on that and start 2-0 is definitely a great feat. So congratulations, Maddie, on the 2-0 start. All right, our next matchup is going to be Unleash the Beast. Alicia taking on Robert Saleh's Hater Society, Greg, and Greg takes the win 130-76. This one wasn't close, and it started on Thursday night. Devonta Smith went off for 4 receptions, 131 yards and a touchdown. And TJ Hawkinson, 7 receptions, 66 yards and 2 touchdowns. So what a way to start his week on that Thursday night slate. That was a combined 43 fantasy points. So Greg never looked back at that point. Those are going to be his pair of studs. As far as his duds go, putting up 130 points, again, it's hard to have a dud. But if I had to pick one, we are going to go, yikes. I mean, he had a couple injuries here. We'll go Brandon Ayuk, but unfortunately, Ayuk was banged up. So can't give him a full dud, but compared to his week 1 performance, 3 receptions and 43 yards, good for only 5 fantasy points. But Greg putting up 130 here. He had lost Anthony Richardson halfway through the game. He was putting up a monster game. He lost Jamal Williams last night. Not that he needed it, but for Greg to put up 130 with a bunch of injuries is a good sign moving forward. As far as Unleash the Beast goes, kind of more of the same from last week. Just a completely injured, banged up roster, and it gets worse and worse. As far as your stud goes, we'll go Lamar Jackson, 22 fantasy points. I still expect him to reach greater numbers. This is still early on, but he did have Mark Andrews back, and he looked a little bit more himself. As far as your duds go, there's a lot of them, but because of your injury situation, you were starting people like Allen Robinson and, you know, guys like Justice Hill. So it's hard to give those guys duds because your expectations are so low. So as far as your real dud go, it's going to go Damian Pierce. 31 yards on the ground, only 4 fantasy points. I don't know what's going on with Damian Pierce. Right now, he's the running back 44 on the season, only averaging 5 fantasy points, in each contest the last 2 weeks. So, man, Pierce was creeping up into the fourth round towards the end of drafts. I had a draft the night before the opening game between the Lions and Chiefs, and I needed a running back at that particular time, and I thought he was going to be a workhorse running back, and I took him late fourth round, last pick in the fourth round, and I regret that, and you know, it's looking like Alicia might regret that as well. Obviously, she has a ton of injuries. Christian Watson was inactive again. She still has Jonathan Taylor on IR, so man, we'll see what Alicia can do, but she's going to start 0-2 on the season, and Greg moves to 1-1 on the season. Our next matchup is going to be the Zin Crusaders, Roach taking on Jason's Yeeter Skeeters, and another blowout game, 156 for Roach to Jason's 81. Let's take a look at Roach's team. 156 points, the high mark of the week. Congratulations. Studs all over the place. Those Giant boys, they're coming in very studly for you, and most of the damage was done in one half, aka the second half, in that amazing Giants comeback against the Cardinals in Arizona on Sunday. Daniel Jones, 321 yards passing, 3 total touchdowns, good for 30 fantasy points. He threw in 59 rushing yards. This is kind of what we expect from Lamar Jackson after getting that big contract, but Daniel Jones shows up again in dramatic fashion for the Giants. Saquon Barkley, banged up in this game, could miss at least 3 weeks. X-rays came back negative. He does have a regular ankle sprain, not a high ankle sprain, not a broken bone. It looked real bad when he limped off, and his body language didn't look great. He threw his helmet down. It looked like one of those season enders. But it looks like just about 3-4 weeks for Saquon. But he gets it done, 24 fantasy points, 63 yards rushing, 2 total touchdowns, 1 rushing, 1 receiving. He had 6 catches for 29 yards. So just an epic day for Roach's team, you know, in consideration. Keenan Allen, who usually is not a touchdown guy, gets 2 touchdowns as well. As far as his dud goes, not that it really matters. Again, scoring 156, hard to have somebody labeled a dud. But Najee Harris, another concerning performance last night versus the Browns. Now, for Roach's purpose, he didn't really need Najee to do much. But Najee is now, you know, we talked about the struggles of Damian Pierce. Now Najee is the running back 47 on the year. Not looking great for him. Only 4 fantasy points last week, and he followed up by another 4-point fantasy performance. And he does go on the road. That was back-to-back home games against 2 tough defenses, though. So, you know, they played San Francisco week 1, Cleveland week 2. Better days ahead, it looks like, possibly for Najee Harris. Maybe a trade for target for someone like, you know, unfortunately, we're going to go over some of the Nick Chubb news on our next matchup. But, you know, Chubb owners, maybe if you owned J.K. Dobbins, you go buy low on Najee Harris, because his next 2 matchups are against Las Vegas and Houston, which are going to be good matchups for him if he can get it right. If he doesn't bounce back versus those teams, you can definitely go ahead and call Najee Harris a bust for where he was drafted. But congratulations to Roach on the win. Yeeter Skeeters, only 81 fantasy points. Disappointing for sure. As far as your stud goes, we are going to go, I mean, heck of a play with Tutu Atwell. We'll go Tutu Atwell because not a lot of people started him, and you did in your double flex. You're dealing with injuries to Austin Eckler and Alvin Kamara, still suspended. So Tutu Atwell, 11 fantasy points, had a great week one, follows it up with a seven receptions, 77 yards through the air against a really stout San Francisco defense. The Rams are surprising, and you know, I thought for sure they were going to be maybe not tanking, but possibly, you know, having a struggle without Cooper Kupp, who's on IR. I thought maybe Stafford would have been a trade candidate for a team. Like, you know, if the Falcons were going to be struggling with Desmond Ridder. Of course, the Falcons are now 2-0, which is crazy. But I kind of saw a situation where maybe the Falcons would go trade for Stafford. The Rams would get some of those picks back that they sold out for the Super Bowl. But yeah, Tutu Atwell, nice little start there for Jason. As far as your dud goes, duds all over the place. I see you had to start Devin Singletary in your RB2 position. But again, when you start a guy like that due to injury, your expectations are so low, hard to call him a dud. We'll go Pat Freiermuth last night. Again, not that it would have mattered. Roach kind of put the game out of reach, the matchup out of reach. But Pat Freiermuth, one catch for 2 yards last night. I don't know, man. That's just an odd situation. He had a good week one, caught a touchdown. Better days ahead for him. But I didn't like the usage last night, that's for sure. It seemed like once Deontay Johnson went down that maybe Pat Freiermuth was going to be a top-end tight end. And I guess you just fire him up every week. That's just the nature of the tight end position. But, yeah, not a great performance there. So Jason moves to 0-2 on the season, and Zin Crusaders gets a win. He's in the win column for the first time this year. He starts off at 1-1 on the season. All right, our next matchup is going to be Chicken Tendies. Josh Benoit taking on Dixie Normus, Gage Aziz, and Chicken Tendies takes the win 90-72. But this is exactly the Jets situation from last Monday. He gets the win, but what did it cost? It cost Nick Chubb. Unfortunately, so the way I do my podcasts is sometimes when the matchups are already settled on Sunday, I'll start doing some of the matchups for the podcast on Monday. And that included the intro. Obviously, the intro had a lot of the storylines from the NFL. So you can add Nick Chubb to the storyline of most likely he's out for the season. Dislocated knee is what it looks like, with a ton of ligament damage. So the Nick Chubb we know and love might be no more. I'm sure it might not be a career ender, but at his age, it's going to be hard to come back and be as dominant as he was. So RIP to Nicholas Chubb. Now, let's see what Josh is made of. He was very down in the dumps because I know he has Chubb in multiple leagues, but I've seen people win without their first round picks before. It's where boys become men. And again, you know, just using Maddie as an example, he's 2-0 right now without Cooper Kupp, who we took in the first round. So let's see what Josh is made of. He's going to have to grind out some wins, and it helps that he's 2-0, I got to tell you. So as far as his stud goes, it's going to be Christian Kirk. Beautiful start there, Christian Kirk. Christian Kirk, 11 receptions, 110 yards, receiving 16 fantasy points. Good bounce back performance from him. I thought it was going to be more of a shootout between the Jaguars and Chiefs. It turned out it was a shootout, but more, you know, between the 20s. Not a lot of touchdowns going on in that game. But Christian Kirk, nice bounce back performance. And Zay Jones kind of, you know, zero fantasy points for Zay Jones and not a difference maker. So we'll see. It's 1-1 for those guys. As far as production goes, we'll see what happens in game 3 for the Jaguars. As far as your dud goes, Josh Jacobs, it's hard to do -2 rushing yards on a day when you play the entire game. So last year's rushing champion goes for 7 fantasy points. Again, only -2 rushing yards is tough to do. Nonetheless, Josh gets the win with 90 points. Moving over to Dixie Normus, 72 fantasy points. Disappointing performances from his running backs. So all 3 running backs that he started, those are going to be his duds. Breece Hall, 0.9 fantasy points. Javonte Williams in a shootout against Washington, only 6 fantasy points. He might be slowing down already with that knee injury. We were worried about it. Tyler Allgeier, 16 opportunities, only 4 fantasy points. So nothing through the air. Looks like Bijan is getting the high value touches, receptions, and he's just doing more with them. I know Allgeier had a great week 1 because of the 2 touchdowns, but that was unsustainable. So his duds are going to be all his running backs. As far as his stud goes, Deebo Samuel, good to see him get back to exactly what we expect from Deebo Samuel. 6 receptions, 63 yards. Also included a rushing touchdown along with 38 rushing yards on the ground in a game where Christian McCaffrey saw 100% of running back snaps. Elijah Mitchell literally didn't get a snap. Liar, liar, pants on fire, 49ers coach for saying, Kyle Shanahan for saying that they were going to limit Christian McCaffrey's usage to save him, because of his injury history. That's a bold-faced lie. Christian McCaffrey's a stud. Deebo Samuel is Gage's stud this week. Gage moves to 1-1 on the season, and Chicken Tendies, although he loses Nick Chubb, moves to 2-0. And our final matchup, which was in contention for matchup of the week, a late push for matchup of the week, didn't quite make it, was Pillar of Fire Tom taking on In the Hunt Elliott, and In the Hunt wins 127-101. High scoring matchup, but not quite close enough for the matchup of the week honors. Let's take a look at Elliott's team, 127 points. Last night, Pickens, 20 fantasy points, and helps just secure the win. Tom definitely had a shot at it last night where he made a roster decision that he texted me. He decided to bench Njoku and throw in Jawan Johnson because Njoku is on the Browns and Elliott has Deshaun Watson. So he figured that any points that go to Njoku, he was going to get negated because Elliott has Deshaun Watson. So I totally get why he did it. Turns out it didn't really matter because Pickens went off. A career type game, 4 receptions, 127 yards, and a touchdown. That's going to be your stud. He secured the win for you last night. And if he's going to be putting up numbers like that in the absence of Deontay Johnson, this is going to be an every week wide receiver 2/a high-end flex for Elliott. And Elliott's team's looking real good. As far as your dud goes, here's that situation. I don't think you had one. Deshaun Watson, maybe. 11 fantasy points, though, didn't kill you. I know he's not doing what you drafted him to do, but I'm going to say that he didn't hurt your team last night. So I'm going to go no duds for Elliott. No duds. I think that's our first no dud performance. I can't remember last week's, but it's very possible the no dud award goes to Elliott. First of the year. Pillar of Fire, 101 fantasy points. Nothing to shake a stick at. Not bad. We've had some low scoring output for fantasy football the first couple weeks. Much lower scoring weeks than I remember last year, but that's to be expected. We're, I think I was texting Tom last night. It's hard, to know who. Maybe I was texting someone else, but it's hard to know through 2 weeks, who to start, who not to start. The sample size is so small at this point. We're really just working off what we think we know, and we're also still taking into account draft capital. It's hard to bench a guy like Damian Pierce because we drafted him so highly, but then you got a guy like, maybe a Raheem Mostert or DeAndre Swift on your bench, and through 2 weeks, you're still kind of starting your studs, but now we're heading to week 3, and maybe your studs aren't your studs like we thought. So moving on to Tom's team, as far as your stud goes, man, I could give it to Justin Jefferson every week, but I think Jalen Hurts, a bounce-back performance here in a shootout versus Minnesota, 193 yards through the air and 3 total touchdowns. He has those 2 1-yard line whatever they're called. I mean, I know they're QB sneaks, but that's something the league's going to have to look at down the line. I'm not sure. It's not the QB sneak that I think they're going to look at. I think it's just the formation of the two running backs behind the quarterback. When he hikes the ball, they just bum rush him, pun intended, and literally push him from the bum forward for the 1 yard. I think that formation, I don't know, it's hard to say because there's two back formations in many playbooks right now. So they're going to take a look at it, but it's a weird football play. That's all I know. But for fantasy purposes, Jalen Hurts, 25 fantasy points. As far as his dud goes, I won't give it to Juwan Johnson, who only had 2 fantasy points because that was a strategic play to bench Njoku for Juwan Johnson. So I think Romeo Doubs is a tough dud here. 2 receptions on 30 yards. Now, last week he had right around 30 yards as well, but had 2 touchdowns. So maybe Tom was hoping that Doubs was getting ramped up a little bit. He didn't play a full participation in his routes last week. He's come back from injury. Maybe Tom felt, hey, maybe this week they're going to ramp him up a little bit and give him more looks. But 2 catches for 30 yards, only 4 fantasy points. Not going to get it done. So Pillar of Fire starting the year 0-2. I had him in the playoffs, so Tom better pick it up. Don't make me look bad, bro. In the hunt, Elliott starts a hot 2-0. That's going to do it for this week's episode. Week 2 is in the books. We look forward to week 3. We have our eyes on a lot of injuries right now. Guys that were just injured this past week, obviously Nick Chubb out for the season. Looks like Jerome Ford is already rostered, so there won't be a mad dash on the waiver wire for him. Saquon Barkley looks like he's going to miss 3 to 4 weeks. And then we're still keeping our eyes on Cooper Kupp and Jonathan Taylor, who, by all accounts, could be back as early as week 5. So we're looking at those situations, scenarios, and storylines. Good luck this week. Week 3 is ahead, and we are excited. Again, fantasy season is moving too fast for me. We're already heading to week 3. It's insane. So enjoy it, have fun, and we'll see you on the other side.